This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And a pleasant good afternoon to everyone, and welcome to Fans in the Pro. Mike Hoss and Deuce McAllister. Busy afternoon leading up to 6 o'clock in the Brian Kelly Show, and then a perfect night for the All-State Sugar Bowl prep football roundup. We got a lot to talk about as far as the injuries for both teams, but want to begin with something that the Saints are doing at the Superdome on Sunday. There's going to be a food collection, a game day drive for Sunday's game for Tampa Bay for all of the victims of Hurricane Milton across Florida. So in collaboration with the United Way, the Red Cross, the Saints will collect essential hygiene and cleaning supplies for those affected by the storm. So it'll start about 9:30. It'll end at the end of the first quarter. And it's the typical non-perishables, but think about cleaning supplies, garbage bags, gloves, bleach, Clorox wipes, tarps, paper towels, and the hygiene items, shampoo, conditioner, soap, toothpaste, toothbrush, deodorant, and things like that. Diapers, imagine that. So understand that the Saints cannot accept food, toys, books, clothing, or any open products. We're going to be talking about it today. It's going to be on the Saints website as well. It'll happen prior to you really kind of as you get to whatever secured perimeter you get to. Obviously, the items are not going to go through the security with you, so that's where you will leave them, and the United Way and the Saints will take care of it. And it's just awesome, because it is what it is. It's a big rivalry. It's a football game, but we have been there. And what happens is, and we know this happens, is that as soon as the storm moves, most of the world moves on. But that person is sitting down there with no diapers, and parts of Florida need the help. And so I think it's a great thing that the Saints are doing, and I know my friend Deuce McAllister does as well.
Yeah, and you're not even talking about no diapers. Probably no power.
Right.
You know, much less the diapers part. I mean, obviously that's essential for a little one, but you're talking about, man, I got to get power. And if I don't have power, then my food is probably going to be limited, because we're trying to cook everything we can before it spoils. I mean, and so like you talked about, we've been there. And, you know, the football game becomes secondary when it's a situation like that, because – for 3 hours, yes, I get to enjoy my favorite team, whether it's the Saints or the Bucks, and then after that, it's back to reality. And so, you know, whether you can even watch the game or listen to the game, you know, you'll try to find somewhere somebody that has it. But for the most part, man, it's just, I don't want to call it survival, but that's truly what it is.
It's day to day. So the Buccaneers have been here all week.
Yeah,
since Tuesday.
And Tampa Bay, we thank you. You guys, as far as I know, have been great visitors. Hopefully you've contributed to our economy a little bit more. And any of the Florida residents that have made their way over here to New Orleans, we definitely appreciate it. But, 48 hours, roughly?
The hospitality just takes a break, right? It doesn't end. It just takes a break.
No, I'm sending them on back to the house. The hospitality... probably 44 hours.
Right.
You know, because it would be 12:15. I'm probably 43 hours.
Now, here's the weird thing.
That hospitality
thing.
Stops.
We don't know yet, but they were talking about this yesterday with Todd Bowles, and that is, can you go back Sunday after the game? And they didn't know that yesterday, and I think we'll know a lot more. Maybe they can now, but think about that. I didn't even really thought about the back end of this. What do you mean we can't go back? Right?
I've been there. What do you mean think about it? I know. Katrina.
I know. I just hadn't thought about it for them.
We went to Oakland, and then, wait, we're not going back? No, we're not going back to New Orleans. You're going to San Antonio. Okay, well, we're going to take a little three-day vacation in San Antonio. You know, the game was on Thursday night. Oh, you play Oakland, the Raiders out there. Then you say, okay, you can't go back to New Orleans. Wait, what do you mean? No, we're going back to San Antonio. We don't know if we will be going back to New Orleans ever. as far as the organization. But yeah, don't take me down that street.
No, no. Here's what one day we'll do a quiz. And that is, you have to write down the Saints, not you and I couldn't do it, the 2005 schedule, when they played, who they played. If you can do the score, God bless you. I don't think I could even do the schedule. Just write down the order of the games that you played and where.
I will never forget two. Well, a couple, not just two. Baton Rouge, the refrigerator.
Right.
Flying into Baton Rouge the day of the game, and I wasn't playing then, I had gotten hurt. Flying in as an NFL team the day of the game to play a game.
Like high school getting off the bus, right?
Exactly. So, like, do I get taped? You know, do I get taped at the facility? And the reason, there was no rooms.
Yeah.
People needed, FEMA needed.
I was
personnel needed those rooms that we were coming into. And so to experience that, to experience Carolina, the first game, to experience the to experience Baltimore, the last game, preseason game. And you basically, that game is like, wait, after the game, hey, we're leaving early, pack your stuff, and it's like
a game, by the way, that would never happen now.
No, because they would follow.
There's so much more. Yeah, you know what I mean?
They would follow.
A different protocol. So that game would never happen now.
And then the Baltimore game, there was the Thursday game, which was against the Raiders, against Oakland. And so you remember kind of that vividly. You remember the Atlanta game down in the Alamo, you know, and you
what
remember
the Giants.
The Giants
flipped. Wasn't that a flip game? You weren't like they were supposed to be here, but you ended up going there?
As a home game.
Yeah.
The Giants, you played up there and as a home game. And so we get the nice locker room. Oh, wait. No, you don't get – well, this is not a home
it's
game.
It's a home game.
Yeah, this is not a home game. And so, yeah, so you remember parts of that, and then you remember – I don't want to say the experience, but it was truly an experience. You were truly – 58, because the practice squad was only, you know, it wasn't like it is now. Right. You know, you had your regular 50.
Yeah,
I think it was 7 or 8.
You couldn't have not nearly the number of veterans.
No, not well, you didn't know veterans. Right. It was 2 years and under. But everywhere you went, there were normally probably 10 to 15 guys together because there was you didn't know San Antonio. And it was like a true college feel. And, yeah, we want to talk about some good things.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I sent us down that path because I don't think I could name. Well, I couldn't write down the games. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, I could give you probably some scores as well, or at least close to some scores, but they were ugly. But I do have something. Charlie, we'll call him / engineer, producer.
He's everything.
Everything for us.
He tells me my mistake.
We're going to have to change up our music. We're changing up stuff. We got to find our mojo. So we've had 3 bad weeks. I changed up even Mike, what I brought and had today from what I've had the last 3 weeks. Changed up my approach, some different stuff that I do on Fridays. I am trying to break this little streak. So we got to change up our music.
Cue me up something, dude.
So I'm going to let you roll with whatever you think,
Whatever you might have played in the previous weeks, don't play.
But whatever we had previously, we dumping. We can go straight old school New Orleans, new school New Orleans. It doesn't matter, but we changing it up.
Big day, really. At 4:30 this afternoon, we'll talk to Bailey Adams. He's the Bucks writer for Pewter Report. I have the hardest time saying Pewter. Pewter Report. So we'll talk to him at 4:30. At 5:20, Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers, LSU, and Ole Miss. And then, of course, 6 o'clock, the Brian Kelly Show. And we're okay, Charlie? We can go into because the injury report.
You're going to need some time.
It's going to take some time. So take a break. Let's do that. Let's take a quick break. because the injury report is both teams, much of which we know from the Saints. There's some new stuff from the Buccaneers, so we'll talk about that on the back end. This is Fans in the Pro. My call's Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. My call's Deuce McAllister. We're going to talk about the Saints injury report. If we don't get to all of Tampa's, we'll do some of that as we're speaking with Bailey Adams with the Pewter report coming up in just a few minutes. So the Saints have five that are out. I can't say that any of them are necessarily surprising. I will say on Tampa's side, Tampa has been off since they played Atlanta on a Thursday night. So they had three players who did not practice on Wednesday and then five who are out. So that's a little strange. So anyway, the five that are out for the Saints: Taysom Hill, he didn't practice all week. Cesar Ruiz did not practice all week. Derek Carr, of course, we knew about. Will Harris had the hamstring, did not practice all week. And Pete Werner did not practice all week. Willie Gay, all good. He was full practice. Rashid Shaheed does not have a game designation. Limited. Alvin Kamara was limited Thursday and Friday. He seems to be okay. Peyton Turner, questionable. Lucas Patrick, questionable. He didn't practice this week. He has a chest injury. Coach Allen said today that he would be one of those game day decisions. And so, and here's the question. Kendre Miller, hamstring, full practice, every day. And he's questionable. What do you have? I don't understand that part. That's the part I don't understand.
So for Kendre, you want to make sure that he's 100%, even though he's practiced fully. That doesn't mean that, you know, his window has opened as far as for practice, as far as his 21-day window. But they still, hey, he may not be ready to go fully. And so I suspect whenever we do see Kendre, it will probably be on some type of pitch count. Not to say that he's still injured, but he may not be fully 100% in football shape as well. I think he's in good shape because he's been working out with the trainers even when he was on IR. It wasn't like he was just, oh, I'm just doing rehab. He was working out. But he still hadn't played a football game.
Yeah, hadn't gotten hit since, I guess, last.
He's probably got hit
in
practice.
Mini camp or in practice.
No, he's got like hit in practice.
But, you know,
probably tackled.
He ain't gotten tackled. So of that group, I mean, again, there were no surprises. I guess, you know, I have done more shows this week about Spencer Rattler, not as a football player, but as fans are so excited about Spencer Rattler. I'm like, what? It's kind of, I mean, everybody loves the backup. I'm used to that. And you're either a Derek Carr fan or you're not a Derek Carr fan. And so I get that as well. But there's just, I don't know if you've had to do a bunch of shows, literally not on Spencer as a football player, but as the, you know, kind of fans are back pumped up again. It's crazy.
I think I did one, and mine that I did, it was before the news of Derek being out multiple weeks. And outside of that, I didn't really want to do anything because I didn't want to talk about it like you chose to talk about it.
Right. And well, it wasn't even about – I mean, if it was about football –
No, like, that's but we know about, you know exactly where the conversation is going, though.
Right.
And so, truly and honestly, I don't know if you can answer that fairly. That's the problem. I don't know if you can truly, honestly answer it fairly because of your situations with injuries.
Right.
Not having your starting center, not having your starting right guard, and possibly not having your starting left guard. That's what you're dealing with. That's what Derek has dealt with. And so to throw a rookie in there, and as talented as Spencer is, that's what you're, I don't want to say choosing to do, but that's what you're doing. And so there's a plan in place for him. It's not one where, I don't want to call it dumbed down defense, I mean offensively, but they have tried to tailor the system to what they feel like that he can do as far as Spencer. It's not a new offense. It's not, you know, hey, we're creating these seven new plays because Spencer is the quarterback. They may highlight some of his skill set a little better. I mean, but for me, whether it was Derek or Spencer Rattler, if you can't block that front seven, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. You've got to be able to block the front seven. And so, really, the defensive line,
But if you can block the defensive line, that means you can get up on the linebackers. That's what it boils down to, regardless of who's at quarterback.
Team has to figure out a way to be better on first down, right? I mean, whether it's running or passing, just be better on first down.
Now I can at least run the ball on second down.
Right.
If I'm second and 13 or second and 9, second and 8, my options are very, very limited. Because if I only pick up 2 yards on third down, third and long is not where you want to be. I mean, because if you're in that situation, then now defensively they're gonna tee off. But they've got to figure out a way. I don't want to call it to shorten it the game, but can you shorten the game?
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Can you shorten the game? And I want the full field still available, but he's got to understand that this is my one, this is my two, this is my outlet.
Right. All right, so we're going to take a break. We will talk a lot more about Spencer Rattler in the game coming up. We talked about the Saints' injuries. We'll talk about Tampa's injuries next with Bailey Adams with the Pewter Report. Back after this on Fans in the Pro, my call is Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com. Always free in the Odyssey.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Yeah. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. My host, Deuce McAllister. We talked about the Saints injury report. We're going to talk about Tampa's injury report as we also speak with Bailey Adams, the Bucs beat writer for the Pewter Report. Welcome to the show, Bailey. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm doing well.
So, first off, and initially, where are you? How did you come through? What is, what are things like in the kind of that area, St. Pete, Sarasota, Tampa? How did things come out?
Yeah, so I'm in around South Tampa, about 20 minutes or so from Raymond James Stadium. Kind of a mixed bag, honestly. My place got pretty lucky. I know at my where I live, there's no power, but I'm over with my parents and they have power. Some friends don't have power. My aunt and uncle, unfortunately, had water and throughout their whole home, so been dealing with that for the last couple of days now. So yeah, it's a mixed bag around here, but we're all coming together.
So the injury report is out, and I thought it was a little not strange, but it certainly caught my eye because you guys were off since the Thursday Atlanta game. You had three guys that didn't practice on Wednesday, but you have five that are out. Graham Barton, your starting center, Christian Izian, the defensive back, wide receiver Trey Palmer, who's from this area up in Kentwood, Cameron Johnson, wide receiver, and then Ernest Brown, the fourth defensive lineman. Rashad White is doubtful, and then you have several that are questionable. I know the practices were up here this week. I guess just your overall assessment of this injury report, was it more than you had expected?
Honestly, believe it or not, that's better than I think a lot of Bucs fans were expecting, and maybe kind of what they were hoping for. Not that all those guys would be missing the game, but that the names that aren't necessarily trending toward doubtful or not playing, like Kalijah Kancey, Luke Getteke, Antoine Winfield Jr., those guys seem to be trending toward playing. Kalijah Kancey hasn't played all season. The rookie from last year, he's heading into his second season, picked up a calf injury on the Friday before week one. So he hasn't played. Looks like he'll make his season debut. Luke Getteke has been in concussion protocol, the right tackle. He hasn't played since week one. And then Antoine Winfield Jr., the all-pro safety from last year, has not played since week one. So trending toward better. You'd like not see so many names as doubtful or listed as out, but I think the Bucs are trending in the right direction.
When you look at this team overall, Bailey, what would your assessment be for them over their first couple of games early in this season so far?
Yeah, I think it's been up and down. Obviously, when you have a 3-2 record, that kind of sounds obvious. But they've had some high highs. I mean, beating Detroit on the road was a big one for them after they lost both games to the Lions last year. But coming back home, and I know the Broncos since that game, that was kind of the get-right game for Denver down here in Tampa. But, that losing that game in that fashion was a disappointment. And then falling apart late against Atlanta was disappointing. I think there's kind of a feeling of missed opportunities of, you know, looking at the way the schedule and everything's unfolded, you could be 4-1, 5-0 at this point. But I think a lot of it has been, you know, they've been very banged up week in, week out. All the guys I just mentioned who are coming back that haven't played all year or haven't played since week one. That's not even to mention Vita Vea, who missed a game and a half himself. So kind of weathering the storm with injuries and really trying to get back on track here after what was a little bit longer of a break after Thursday night.
When you talk about a team evacuating and they've been kind of away, what do you think this team kind of their, I guess, mindset is right now? Obviously, you're thinking about home, but you've been focused on what you have to do and, you know, as much family and items that you can bring. I'm assuming they had that opportunity to bring them.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what helped on the organizational side of things is they have, I think they said 375 people, something like that, in their traveling party. So a lot of family members of the players and the coaches and even team staff were able to get out in time. And others who wanted to stay in Florida were able to be put up in resorts in Orlando, kind of away from the track and everything. So I think from an organizational standpoint, that helped them probably just kind of get their focus on football. Yes, they're going to be thinking about home. They're going to be thinking about, you know, the city here. But I think there's also kind of that feeling of, all right, you know, we got to take care of business out there and kind of bring some hope. And football can be that kind of thing sometimes for people where they rally around it. So I think that's what probably the message to the team has to be.
Tampa has the potential, at least under Baker. They have been somewhat streaky. I mean, there was a point, it felt like last year, that Todd Bowles was in trouble. I think like 4-7, something like that. And then, they, you know, they reel off. And, you know, that same thing with his first year. He started in 22 like Coach Allen. But, man, this year it just feels like Baker with 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's had a pretty strong completion percentage. He's made good decisions. I mean, when he's like this, he is enormously difficult to defend.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of a whole variety of things. I know they have a new offensive coordinator, so he's working with yet another new coach, but it is one he has experience with, Liam Cohen, from those, you know, few weeks he spent in Los Angeles at the end of 22. But I think there's also just kind of a security with him now where he's signed a new 3-year deal. He knows this is home. Kind of for the first time, he has a home in the NFL. I know, obviously, he spent the 4 years in Cleveland, but they were quick to move on from him. It didn't really feel like home in the end. So he's secure in his spot. He's got a good, you know, rapport with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. And I think he's just really comfortable right now through the first 5 games or so.
From a wide receiver standpoint, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, I mean, good gosh, it feels like they've been playing forever. Now, Trey Palmer is out. Because this wide receiver core in general, when you throw in Jalen McMillan, Sterling Shepard, and the rookie Cameron Johnson has not played much, but Shepard, McMillan, Godwin, Evans, Palmer all have touchdowns. Evans has 5, Godwin has 3. We expect another Marshawn Lattimore, Mike Evans show on Sunday. But this wide receiver core has been, you know, probably better than expected.
Yeah, I think so. I think we had to get one of the guys on our staff refer to it today as a revolving door because there's been a time, you know, Trey Palmer's been banged up, Cameron Johnson's been banged up, Jalen McMillan right now is coming back from an injury and he's missed some time. So they kind of haven't had all of them healthy at once, but the ones that have been in there have been producing pretty well and they've been getting a decent amount of production from the tight end, Kate Otten, and Rashad White in the passing game out of the backfield has also done a whole lot. So, yeah, there's a lot of weapons to go around for Baker, and I think that's a huge part of his success so far also.
When you look at this matchup on Sunday, what are a couple things that you're interested in seeing how it unfolds for either team?
I think, you know, going into it, I think New Orleans defense has not been the reason, I mean, from the outside anyway, looking at, you know, the game they lost 15-12 to Philly in a game where they didn't give up an offensive touchdown to Atlanta, and they still lost the game. I think their defense against this Bucs offense, which seems to be clicking and headed in the right direction, I'm really interested in that. And then on the flip side, kind of getting some guys back on defense for the Bucs. Even still, there's kind of the wild card now of Spencer Rattler making his debut. And people, I think, in Tampa and just Bucs fans in general are quick to kind of shudder at the thought of playing a rookie quarterback because there's a perception that Todd Bowles' defenses have not handled rookies very well. there's been some high-profile losses in the past, but it's kind of more around league average. But even still, you never really know what you're going to get from a debuting quarterback, so that's a huge wrinkle thrown into the mix here.
Jake Camarda play on Sunday?
Oh, I don't know. It's been a very weird, strange situation with him.
Yeah.
I thought he had a decent year last year, a little inconsistent at times, but we saw him in the preseason and then early on this season really, really struggle and not find that consistency. And at first I thought, you know, they're going to elevate Trenton Gill. They're going to have him give a couple games and maybe kind of send a message to Camarda. I don't really know. It's kind of one of those things where it's wait and see. And if they elevate Gill again, I think that will be his third one. So then they're going to have to come to a decision of, all right, what are we going to do here at punter? And not something we really thought, you know, having a guy from the fourth round pick 2 years ago, thinking that 2 years later we'd be considering, you know, who's going to be next in line.
Right. Healthy scratches. You don't see too many punting healthy scratches in the NFL. You just don't see it, right?
Yeah, so, you really don't.
Well, Bailey, we appreciate your time. Best of luck. The Saints are having a food drive on Sunday for all kinds of items, cleaning items, hygiene items, canned goods to send down your way. So we've been there. It ain't easy. One day at a time, and best of luck to you.
I appreciate you guys for having me on, and thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You bet. Bailey Adams, Bucks beat reporter for the Pewter Report. Take a break here. Fans in the Pro back after this. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com, always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Taking you almost to 5 o'clock here in our first hour. Then at 6 o'clock, it's the Brian Kelly Show. 7 o'clock, it's the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Do not forget Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery. The best gourmet pizza selection in town, Magazine Pizza. Also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. We appreciate all of their help feeding our Saints broadcast team. Huge weekend. High school football tonight for some. High school, you know, football game started on Thursday.
Friday, and Saturday. Right?
James Madison played last night. So the collision, the one-loss James Madison Dukes and the one-loss Ole Miss Rebels still on a collision course.
A collision course, but wasn't it?
Yes, we lost.
I'm trying to – was it
– Northeast Louisiana?
Yeah, okay. You're not even – you're going to go with Northwest Louisiana. Yeah. Wow. Right, the disrespect.
All right. I'm sorry. I tried to put it behind me. Well, I cannot believe I brought this up.
Here's for me. Me and Ole Miss and LSU. I probably was more involved when I played. The farther that you get away from the game, the rivalry, quote unquote, dies down. You know when each team is good. There has been more chirping to me this year than in years past. And I'm like, I don't even brag about Ole Miss. I hadn't said anything. Only thing I said about Ole Miss has high expectations and a lot of pressure. And I didn't know how they would handle that pressure. But there has been an unbelievable amount of chirping from LSU fans. And I'm like, really? Like, really? I didn't hear anything last year. But for me, I'm hoping it's a good game. It's going to be electric in Tiger Stadium. It should be an exciting. I'm hoping that it's an exciting game. Who wins? To be determined. You will have a bunch of guys that play on Sunday in that matchup, and I think from a coaching standpoint, you know, you talk about the magical. Of Tiger Stadium.
It's 100. They're celebrating 100 years.
Yeah, but how many players?
No, I'm just saying.
No, I mean, but from a player standpoint,
right.
Ole Miss is, they turned over that roster 40, 50 times. They're like, hey, you know you hadn't won here since. Like, most of those kids, they weren't even in Ole Miss colors, so much less. It doesn't matter to them, if that makes sense. The 100-year celebration, and to most of those players, like, okay.
Why do I hate them again?
Well, why does this matter?
Right.
You know, such and such, he's my friend. And then with social media, they're all buddy-buddy on that stuff. And so it's always intriguing. But for the fans, oh man, it means something.
Oh yeah,
it truly truly means something.
I wish it were. It used to be closer, obviously, to Halloween.
To Halloween,
yeah, always that weekend.
Yeah,
and we're going to talk at 5:20. We're going to talk to Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers, a lot more about the ins and outs of the game. But here's something I found a little interesting: Saints at home, 3.5-point underdogs to Tampa. LSU at home, 3.5-point underdogs to Ole Miss. I mean, I know, I get it. It just feels a little, I don't know, wrong. I don't know. Got to take a break. We got another hour coming up, and again, we'll talk to Chris Blair. We'll talk a lot more about the Saints, as well as Spencer Rattler and the injuries and the food drive. So keep it right here. Fans in the Pro, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com, always free in the Odyssey app. The news is next.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.